Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, last week, my grandson, Jeremy Pearson's, and his lovely wife, Sarah, ministered the Word of God to you on the broadcast. It was powerful teaching on living a legacy and staying connected to the family of faith. Now, they're back on the broadcast for week two of their study. Now, many of you know Jeremy. You say, hey, Jeremy, and he does all the closes and stuff. But let me tell you about this young man. I have learned from him. He's been in the ministry all of his life. His mother and daddy, George and Terry Pearson's pastor, EMIC, for years and years. Both he and Sarah are anointed ministers of the gospel. It blesses me to hear them teach and preach the word.
Hello, we're Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons. We want to welcome you today to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We're so glad to be back with you again this week. Going to spend some more time together in the Word of God, and I hope you are ready. I hope your heart is open today to what the Lord would say to you. We want to speak to not just you, but to your family. We want to talk to you about what it means to raise a family in and around the Word of God. And speaking of family, I just want to say right here at the top of this broadcast how thankful we are today for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Thank you so much for giving Sarah and I this opportunity to minister to this congregation of your partners all over the world. We're so thankful, so honored to get to open the Word of God and speak into the lives of people watching literally from all over the world. It's amazing, Sarah, to think that there are people from everywhere right now who have come together as a partner family with this ministry, those who are not yet partners with this ministry and still are being taught the Word of God. I know many of you who are a lot like me, you grew up on this broadcast. You listened and watched day after day, just like I did in at home growing up. And so to be here today talking to you is a real thrill and an honor for us. And I want to let you know that as we go through this week, you can stay caught up with us and study right along with us with the notes. All the notes from these broadcasts are available to you online at kcm.org/notes. And again, just get those, follow along with us, do your own little Bible study or something. Use those to reinforce what you're hearing this week on the broadcast, but also use them to pour into the lives of people around you. And the same good things that our good God has done in your life, He will do in the lives of your family, your friends, and in Jesus' name, anybody you come in contact with. Today, I call you a minister. You are equipped to be a minister of the gospel. Sarah, let's pray together today and get right into the Word. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you today. Thank you so much for opportunity to minister your Word to your people by the help of your Spirit under your anointing. We look to you. We listen to you. Our hearts are open to you. And we declare that the good work you've begun in us and in this viewing audience all over the world, you are faithful to finish it because you, sir, are the author and the finisher of our faith. We give you all the glory and the praise for the good things that you're doing in our lives. Good things, great things, and greater things still to come. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you've got your Bible, I want you to go with us today to the book of Galatians chapter 6. We talked all last week on the broadcast about living a legacy, not just leaving a legacy, but living a legacy, because the life you live is the legacy that you'll leave. And we've been talking about our families. Sarah, even though she grew up in the state of Arkansas, I grew up in the state of Texas, there was a lot of similarities about our houses, a lot of differences too, but the main things that were the same were the love for God, the love for the things of God, the love for His church and His people. And we really spent a lot of time last week talking about that. And I felt like when we started hitting on that, specifically the church, that there was such a grace and an anointing to minister to people and encouraging you to find the family of faith that you belong in. And like I said, even though there were some differences about your growing up and mine, that was one thing that was the same. We were plugged in to the family of faith.
Amen.
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 And I want to continue on in that this week on the broadcast. Let's just begin here in Galatians chapter 6. You know verse 6. We read it a lot on the BVOV, especially when it's time for the offering on Fridays. But I want to read it to you again right now. Just begin in verse 6 and read several verses here. It says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." That's basically just saying, don't give up. Don't draw back. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't quit.
Yeah.
You're not a quitter. You're not anointed to quit. You're not gifted to quit. You are not a quitter. And I don't care if you have quit every single thing you've ever started. I'm telling you today, you're not a quitter.
Yeah.
And whatever you set your hand to do in God, if you'll trust the grace of God on you and in you, it will prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If we don't quit, we don't grow weary while doing good. Wasn't there something the Lord had said to you specifically about that a while back? It seemed like it was a couple of years ago. Don't grow weary. I think it was while we were believing God for something big, like don't give in on this thing. Don't quit on it.
Yeah. I mean, how many times has he said, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep walking.
Which just means there's opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. There's opportunity sometimes daily, sometimes multiple times a day to quit. But the psalmist said it best. He said, I would have lost heart if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yeah.
See, most people are waiting to see something and they're saying, I'm giving up if I don't see a change. I mean, how many people right now, Sarah, are right on the verge of divorce? Saying, unless I see a change in you, or unless I see a change in this marriage, unless I see a change in my spouse, I'm done. I quit. I give up. But that's not supposed to be the way you and I live. We don't wait to see the change to determine whether or not we're going to stay in it. The psalmist said what was sustaining him was believing to see the goodness of God. So I'm encouraging you right now, if there's something, maybe it is your marriage, maybe it is something on the job or your family, and you feel right on the verge of quitting, stop saying, unless I see a change, I quit. Say this instead, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. I'm believing to see the goodness of the Lord in our marriage. I'm believing to see the goodness of the Lord in our family and in our relationships and on the job and in the ministry, believing to see the goodness of the Lord. That's something that I wrote down a couple of years ago and been getting in the habit of saying, even over Sarah and I in our marriage every single day, just declaring that she and I love God. We love each other. We love our children. Our marriage is thriving. It's flourishing. We got to get these words in our mouths, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing all the talking here. Preach to
No, that, that word here that talks about being weary, it's the same. To me, it's the same. It conveys the same thing as that scripture in Psalms that you were just saying about this is weariness. And he said, I would have fainted. It's those feelings of almost fainting. That's, you are right at the end. And some of you may feel like that with your marriages. You may feel like you're right at the end, but that doesn't mean it has to be the end.
That's right.
And if you just won't quit, and you'll just keep walking, keep believing, keep standing, keep praying over your spouse, it doesn't have to be the end.
That's right.
And I've seen this over and over in different people's lives in ministry. And people that were called by God, I was thinking of one couple right now that has just gone through a really hard time this last year. And they just, I told her, I said, don't quit. Don't give up on it. God has a plan for this marriage. He's called you. I see how you're anointed. You're called together. Don't give up. And you know, actually Christian people were telling them to quit and that it was impossible, an impossible situation. I told her it's not impossible. And this situation, you guys are going to come through and you just, you know, you just keep building people up until they get through it. But I'm telling you, they stuck with it. She kept praying for her husband. And they came through it. And just the other day, this has been just a year or so, she called me and texted me. She said, our marriage is the best it's ever been
in
our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know what happened? She just didn't quit. She kept going. She just kept praying, kept believing, kept standing. And God was faithful in their marriage. And that's oftentimes people just quit just right before they see their promise, right before they see their miracle. Mm-hmm. So I'm just encouraging you today, don't quit. And even if you feel weary, even if you feel faint, it doesn't have to be the end.
That's right.
And you can keep pressing into God. You can keep, you know, you don't even have to put pressure. I believe this. You don't even have to put pressure on your spouse to tell, you don't have to preach at them. You don't have to tell them what to do. You don't even have to try to make them change to be who you want them to be. You can go before God and say, God, I'm trusting you to work in their lives. I'm asking you to speak to them and make it clear. I know Jeremy and I, we've had moments. I remember this one particular time we were arguing in the bathroom about something. Oh yeah, we were arguing. It happens once in a while. And I remember I just wanted to tell him what to do, or just to say, why don't you just do this? And the Lord just checked me. The Holy Spirit just said, no, just stop. Just go pray about that. And so I just stopped and I said, Lord, I ask you to deal with Jeremy. I ask you just to go and speak to him and show him.
You know, I'm sitting right here, right?
I know. I'm just telling them. And I said, I ask you just to speak to him and show him how this bothers me, or this isn't right. Show him this in the Word. And of course, you know, on the other side of that, I also have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I repent. This is my bad. I am taking responsibility for this. But I prayed over him. I kid you not, like 30 seconds later, he walks into the bathroom and he's like, Sarah, I'm sorry. That was wrong. I did this wrong and this wrong, and I shouldn't have treated you like this, or I shouldn't have done this. And he walked back out of the room, and I thought, prayer works. It works. It really works. But, you know, instead of preaching at your spouse, you can just go before the Lord and go in your prayer closet or wherever you go to pray. Have your scriptures for them. Pick out your scriptures and believe God that they begin to act the way you want them to act. That they begin to just change into the person that you see that they're supposed to be in the Word, or what God's called them to be or to do. You don't always have to make it between you and your spouse. It can That's be right. between you and God. And God is...
And then I want you to notice here the terminology he used. He said, we'll reap if we don't lose heart.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the psalmist said. One translation says, I would have fainted. Another one says, I would have lost heart. And the truth is, you can lose a lot of things in this life, a lot of natural things. You can lose a lot of different things and still be in the fight. You know what I mean by that? You can lose some money and still be in the fight. You know, you can lose some natural material things and yet still be in this fight of faith and not giving up. The only thing you can't lose is heart. Because once you've lost heart, you're out.
Yeah.
If you've still got heart, and that's why you can ask any good coach, any sport, any team, and you say, what do you want, coach, a lot of talent or a lot of heart? And he say, give me heart every time. Somebody who's not going to give up when it gets hard, or when you get behind, or when you're down, somebody who's going to stay in it. And when you're praying, I don't know how we got onto marriages today, but when you're praying over your spouse like that, they're making a heart connection there.
Yeah.
You're getting it out of the realm of what seems to be naturally between the two of you.
Yeah.
And you're making a heart connection. You're putting heart in this thing. Yeah. This isn't at all where I thought we were headed. But this is important because of what he says in verse 10. And this is where I want us to get to today. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Now, you know that as believers, as Christian people, a big part of our assignment while we're here on this earth is to do good to people, is to do good to the world around us, and to be a light, if you will, to be quick to give and quick to forgive and quick to be a blessing to other people. You know, we ought to be the ones that the world around us can count on to be stable, to be consistent, to be available to help people when they need it. And I think people in the church know we're supposed to be that. Even people outside of the church know that the church is supposed to be that. But this scripture doesn't just talk about doing good just to everybody. He does say that, let's do good to all. But now I want you to notice this next phrase, especially or most importantly, or you could even use the word as a priority, let's do good to those who are of the household of faith. Mm-hmm. So our assignment or obligation, if you will, is not just to be good to all of humanity, but to especially to those who are of the household of faith. And what I want to do here is draw your attention to the fact that there are two different households.
Yeah.
There are two different families in this world. And it has really bothered me more lately, I think, than ever before when I hear people use the phrase or the expression, we're all just children of God. We're all just children of God, the Creator. Mm-hmm. And something's bothered me about that. On one level, it sounds good, you know, to say we're all just children of God. But the truth is, you're not a child of God until He's your father. Mm-hmm. That's what makes you His child. He's your father. And for Him to be your father, Jesus has to be your Savior, your Lord, and your brother.
Yeah.
There are two different households in this earth. And God is not everybody's father. He is a father to those that call Him father.
Yeah.
To those that call on Him in faith. And we are of the household of faith. Mm-hmm. Read that quote again if you've got it handy from E.W. Kenyon and what he said about Christianity.
Christianity is not a religion. It is a family, a father and his children.
Yeah. That's what we are. We're not a religion. Mm-hmm. And I've heard my grandfather say this for decades. He said, Christianity is not a religion. A religion has been made out of it.
Yeah.
But it's not a religion.
Yeah.
It is a father and his family.
Yeah.
And that's what this word household means. When you look it up in the Greek, it literally translates to family. We are a family of faith.
Yeah.
Now, you could read that verse, and many people do, and apply it one of a couple of ways. You could take that household of faith to be a reference to the global body of Christ, those who would acknowledge that there is one true God, that Jesus is His Son. He lived and died and rose again, and I put faith in that. And I'm a part of God's family. And sure, that is absolutely true. But I hear this in maybe a slightly different way. People who aren't just born again by faith, but who choose to live by that same faith that they're born again by. That to me is a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who've been born again and they, thank God, have had that salvation experience, if you will. But it's another thing entirely to take that same principle of faith and that same miraculous power that you were born again by and then to apply that to your life every single day.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Am I right about that? Yeah, that's
absolutely
a different way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want us to spend our time talking about all this week on these broadcasts, talking about what it means to be in the household of faith,
yeah,
in the family of faith, because there is a difference.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people don't want to feel different, don't like feeling different. And that goes all the way back to being a kid and experiencing that, they called it peer pressure, that pressure to blend in, mm-hmm, that pressure to look like everybody else, sound like everybody else, talk like everybody else, live like everybody else, and whatever the crowd was doing, you're doing that. But you need to understand and you need to be okay with this fact right here, and that is that there is supposed to be a difference. There's supposed to be a difference between you and everybody else on this planet. There's supposed to be a difference in the way you live, the way you talk, the way you walk. And Paul wrote about it in, what was it? I think 1 Thessalonians, was it chapter? Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said in verse 4, you brethren, okay, so there's family again, right? Mm-hmm. Brothers, you're not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You're sons of the light, sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. He's saying the difference between us is supposed to be night and day, dark and light.
Yeah.
People use that expression to describe things that are different. Well, that's a night and day difference. Well, that's the kind of difference there's supposed to be between this family and the other family that's out in the world. The difference between the household of faith and the household built on fear. There is supposed to be a night and day difference. Nobody walks outside at 12 o'clock noon, looks up in the sky at that big ball of fire hanging out up there and saying, I wonder if it's day or night out here. You don't have to wonder. Look, there's proof. The light is the proof. And that's supposed to be the same thing going on in us. So that's what Sarah and I want to deal with on these broadcasts all this week, this night and day difference. What distinguishes us in the house of faith as opposed to anybody outside this house? And I know you have a lot to say about it. I feel like I'm the one doing all the preaching here.
Oh, I'm enjoying it.
Are you? Good. Okay. Can I receive an offering at the end of this?
I will give you all my money.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have anything in my pockets.
Okay, maybe later. But I'm telling you, the Lord has drawn a line in our own hearts and helped us more, especially over the last several weeks, months, identify what it means to not just be in this house of faith, but to raise a family in this house. And that phrase came to us. It was sometime last year we were doing broadcasts of our own for our ministry, raising a family in the house of faith. But when you and I went away up to Colorado into the mountains to pray for a few days, this was what, back in November of 2018, that phrase is what kept coming to us over and over and over. And it was while we were praying about this next step of ministry that we're taking this year in the launch of our own church. Legacy Church is coming later this year, and we'll be launching in Colorado, just outside Colorado Springs. And the whole heartbeat of the church is this idea of legacy. What have you been given from the generations that have gone before you? And what will you give to the generations that are coming? And for us, what we've been given is the spirit of faith. And that's what we're determined to pass to the generation that's coming after us. And to help other families that would come be a part of this local church with a global call, to help them learn what it literally means to raise your family in this kind of environment. When the Word of God is first place. And so we're going to talk about all of these things and more this week. And I want you to get ready for it, because I believe that what we're going to deal with could have a huge impact on you, on your family, on this generation, and on the generations to come. We are of the household of faith. And that makes us different. And there's supposed to be a difference. We started on yesterday's broadcast talking about what it means to be and to live in the house of faith. We're going to get right back into that today. And if you've missed anything leading up to this, then go back to kcm.org, get caught up on those broadcasts. You can download them, watch them for free. And while you're there, look for the notes, all the notes that go along with these teachings. That's at kcm.org/notes. And you can use those to study along with us. You can use those to do your own Bible study, preach them in church, whatever you want to do with them. They are yours and they are free. So today we're going to get right back into the Word. Let's pray together and follow as the Lord leads us in the Scriptures. Lord, we love you. We worship you and praise you today. Thank you so much for the opportunity to minister your Word to your people all over the world. Lord, I am grateful for the outreach of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of the good things, the great things, and the greater things that you are doing in and through this ministry all over the world. We declare your blessing today over Mimi and Pawpaw, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. We call them blessed, increased, multiplied in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the good work you've begun in them, and we call you faithful to finish it. Open up our eyes today to see good things from your Word. Open up our ears to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd. Open up our hearts to gain understanding about who we are in Jesus and who He is in us. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yesterday on the broadcast, we began looking in the book of Galatians chapter 6. So if you've got your Bible, I want you to go there with us again. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, once again, it says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." That's who we are. That's the house that I grew up in. That's the house you grew up in. And we've been talking all last week's broadcast and then again yesterday about what it is to be the household of faith and to in turn raise a family in the household of faith. And this is such a big deal to Sarah and to me right now. We've got Justice and Jesse, our little ones. Justice, he's 9 years old. If you can believe it, Jesse Grace, she's 6 years old. And we are very mindful of raising these kids in the same kind of environment that Sarah and I were raised in. And that's an environment of faith. That's an environment that doesn't just believe there is a God, but believes that He's good, believes that He's right, that His Word is true and alive, and that you can build your life on it. And that's probably the best way to say it. To be in the household of faith is to be a family that builds your life around the Word of God. And that's what I want us to talk more about today. You jump in here in a second, but I want to read this to you as well from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And I want to read several verses here. And we'll bounce around a little bit, but I want you to look for a particular word that shows up in each of these verses over and over and over, and then we'll talk about it. See if you can pick up on it. Just start here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." We talked about that yesterday, right? Not losing heart, not giving up, not quitting. We don't lose heart. Mm-hmm. Who is we? House of faith. Verse 2, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame." Skip ahead to verse 5. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." Verse 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us." Verse 8, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, not destroyed." Look at verse 11. "We who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Verse 13. "And since we," are you starting to pick up on this over and over, "have this same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believe, therefore I spoke.'" Sarah, say it with me. "We also believe and therefore speak." Look at verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart." That just keeps coming up over and over and over again, because that's supposed to be one of our defining characteristics as believers and as members of the house of faith. We don't lose heart. We don't give up. "We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal." Chapter 5, verse 7, read this one out loud with me. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Do you hear this little word that comes up over and over and over again? We. Mm-hmm. This is the word we.
Together.
I mean, I'm so grateful that the Apostle Paul didn't write and say, "I walk by faith and not by sight." Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, if he had said, "I walk by faith and not by sight," every one of us would have been like, "Well, that was you, Paul. You know, you can do that." That's not what he said. He said, "We."
Yeah.
"We walk by faith." The reason I bring this up is because every child growing up in any house, I dare say, has had that experience where you find out who you are and who the family is that you're a part of. And a lot of times it's built around this word "we," especially when a child comes home to mom and dad and says, "Hey, can I go here? Can I do this? Can I go be a part of this thing?" And mom or dad looks back and says, "No, no." And then the kid, every kid's had this experience. They look back and go, well, that's not fair. Everybody else gets to. Everybody else is going. Everybody else is doing. And I know I had this experience. I'm pretty sure you did. That mom or dad turns around and says, I don't care if everybody else is going. We don't do that. We don't go there. I don't care if everybody else says that. We don't say that. And you find out as a kid who you are and who the family is that you're a part of in those moments. You find out what makes you different from every other house.
Yeah.
Did you have any of these moments growing up?
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking about even moments in our own house recently with the kids in school. They come home from school and they want to pray over something, or
right.
we're praying over dinner, or we're praying at bedtime. And they begin to pray, and at the end of the prayer, pretty much there's no faith released. There was no scripture spoken. It was pretty dry. And Jeremy and I will both tell them, we've taught them and trained them with this for a while, that we, in this house, we pray the prayer of faith, and we pray according to the Word of God.
That's right.
So we begin to teach them how we pray in our house. And, you know, of course you'd think, well, they go to a Christian school. They, you know, yeah. they should be praying just like any other child, praying according to the Word. But really, it's amazing if you really listen, how oftentimes there's no faith in a lot of prayers. There's no Word in a lot of prayers. But we've taught them, we pray the Scripture. Find out what your Scripture is that you're believing and standing on, and speak that Scripture in your prayer. Find out what the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit as you're praying. Pray out what He's showing you.
Right.
And so in our house, we pray right. like this.
And you can tell, you know, when the kids have been around other kids, and like you said, you know, they're in a Christian school, and a great Christian school, but we start to, they're experiencing the same thing I did growing up. I was around Christian kids. I went to the same Christian school, kindergarten through graduation, and I was around some of the same kids for all those years. Good families, Christian families, but somewhere around junior high, I started figuring out, okay, we're a little different than the rest of this group. Like, we talk a little different. We definitely pray different. And I won't go through all the stories of how I figured it out, but I came to see there's a difference in somebody growing up in a house that lives and walks by faith mm-hmm. and somebody who's not. And so we experienced some of the same things with our kids. Remember when Justice, we were in the car that day and we said, okay, buddy, pray. We're on our way to school. Let's pray over the day. Let's pray over your day at school. And I think he said something like, Father, you are in heaven. You have made man and woman. And I just put a stop to it right there. I can tell. I said, buddy, have you ever heard Daddy talk? And it's not like something was wrong with what he was saying. I said, listen, I'm going to pray over this day and I want you to listen to it. And I began to declare the word of the Lord yeah. over that day with authority. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice mm-hmm. and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for your gracious gift of protection today. You watch over Justice and Jesse all day at school. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. No evil or calamity will come near them. Well, I guarantee you, this is not the way they're praying in class or other kids are praying. But hey, I don't care if everybody else prays this way or talks this way or lives this way or doesn't pray at all. In this house, this is how we do it.
I remember that specific time I told him to. I said, buddy, we talk to God like He's real.
Yeah.
Like He is a real friend. Talk to Him like He is sitting here with you. Talk
right.
to Him from your heart. Say, Father, I love you today. I ask you to help me.
It's easier than we make it. Yeah.
I believe your angels, you send them charge over me. Take care of me today. I receive your perfect protection. Don't talk to him like he's some foreign, weird guy up, you know.
Yeah.
He's not. He's real. God is real to us.
That's right.
Talk to him like he's real. You know?
And this is one of those things, and this is what we're going to deal with today and the rest of this week, those things that define us, that distinguish this house from every other house. I know, I remember one time, I want to say it was around junior high. I found out a lot about who we were and who we weren't. Early one morning, we were sitting on the couch for family devotions. I think we had just watched the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we did that every morning, early in the morning. And then we would read a scripture and pray over the day. And I remember I had a really close friend in school whose mom had been diagnosed with a pretty serious sickness. And some of the guys at school were talking about it, and I guess maybe even some of the teachers. And again, it's a Christian school, which is in so many ways a wonderful thing. But it's also something to watch out over, because you got a lot of different doctrines and beliefs coming at your kids. And that's what I was experiencing. And I think maybe some people at school have been talking about her, my friend's mom, and this sickness and where it came from and why she had it. And I must have said something sitting on the couch that morning when I asked mom and dad just a simple question, something like, well, why did God do this? Or why did God allow this? Something, you could tell I was confused, because this was what I was hearing at home and what I was hearing at school were not matching up. And baby, I found out that day who we are and what we believe. And I don't care if every other person at that school said God did it. He didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that morning, I may have been late for school that day, because I got preached to by Mama Pastor Terry sitting there on the couch. And I'm telling you, I'm so thankful I did, mm-hmm. because I found out what it meant that day to be in the house of faith. Mm-hmm. Now, whether I put those terms around it sitting there as a sixth grader, seventh grader or not, probably not. But looking back on it now, I realized that was a defining moment for me in what it means to grow up house of faith.
Yeah.
And now we're watching the same thing happen with our kids. And you've heard me say it before, but I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Yeah.
There are things that make this house different than every other house. Some of the things we're talking about right now. In every other house, there may be a way of speaking. People may talk a certain way about things. But in the house of faith, we watch our words. Mm-hmm. We watch our mouths.
Yeah.
How many parents have ever said that to their kid? You watch your mouth, mister. Well, we have a father.
Yeah.
And in this house, when doubt and unbelief and complaining and grumbling and whining starts coming out, we have a father who will say to his children, you watch your mouth. Mm-hmm. You watch your mouth.
Yeah.
What's supposed to be coming out of our mouths? Words of faith. We just read it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore speak. In other words, what's coming out of our mouths is supposed to be what's already in our hearts. And that's true in every house. But what makes us different is we're supposed to be putting this word in our heart so that it's this word coming out of our mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say if there's any number one thing that I think makes this house different than any other house, and that should distinguish your house as a house of faith compared to any other house on the block, any other house in the world. And that is this: we put the word first.
Mm.
The word of God comes first.
Yeah.
I want to show you what Jesus said about it in the book of Luke chapter 4. When Jesus was in the wilderness and being tempted by Satan, the devil said to him in verse 3, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. If you're really of the house that you say you are of, he said, if you're the Son, if this is really the family you're a part of, what Satan was trying to get Jesus to do was question the identity.
Mm-hmm.
Call that identity into question. And he said, if you're really the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus said to him in verse 4, answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Sarah, that that's what makes the house I grew up in different, the house you grew up in different, and the house we're raising our kids in different,
mm-hmm.
is that we treat the word of God with the same importance as we would treat a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And people would be quick to agree and say, you know, you can't live without having a steady diet of food. Mm-hmm. Well, we would say you cannot live without a steady diet of the Word of God.
Amen.
And what are some of the ways that, you as a mom practice this with our kids? We'll start with your own life. I mean, how do you make sure that you're getting what you need mm-hmm. from the Word? And this isn't just talk for us, but this is actually something we live by. And then how do we make sure that we're demonstrating that for our kids?
Well, I think that one of the main things that I've learned over the years is how important it is what you put your eyes on first thing in the morning,
right,
and then what you look at right before you go to bed.
Yeah.
So how important are the mornings with God and in His Word, and how important are the evenings right before you go to sleep? I was remembering, I think it was Brother Hagin, it was someone that said that somebody asked him what he attributed his healing to, being healthy and strong. And he said something about meditating on healing scriptures or reading about healing books right before bed. And I probably don't have that exactly right, but something to that effect, yeah. That's what got in my heart. So with my kids, right before bed, they are listening to worship music, or Justice every night listens to, he has listened through the whole Minister's Conference DVD yeah. set over and over and over. Yeah. Actually, today he was quoting it to me. He was quoting Rick Renner, Papa Copeland, Jeremy. He was doing Papa's whole routine when he calls you up on stage.
Yeah.
Hey, son,
yeah.
get on up here.
He's got it all memorized.
He's got it all memorized.
It's pretty powerful.
But last night he came down the stairs and he said, Mommy, I want my Bible. It was after he should have already been in bed asleep.
Right.
But I want my Bible. And he got back in bed and he said, I said, well, what are you doing? It's really past bedtime. And he said, well, I want to listen to Rick Renner and follow along in my Bible to his teaching. And I thought, okay, here's your Bible.
Yeah, what are you going to say?
What are you going to say? No. And so, you know, we're just endeavoring to talk about the Word in the morning before we, on our way to school. We read Psalm 91 together in the car almost every day when I'm not driving, when Jeremy's driving. We read it every day and we pray and we release faith over their protection on the way to school.
Yeah. Tell them that story about what he said to the music teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were talking about how everybody had gotten sick.
Well, every morning when we're going over Psalm 91, we say 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. It will not come near us. We'll say, our angels, Father, you give them charge over us to keep us safe from all harm. And so Justice was in choir practice one day at school, and they were talking about how everybody was getting the flu. I think it was the flu, right?
I mean, they were dropping like flies. I think there was 6 kids left in the class or something that
and
weren't out sick.
Everybody's talking it up and talking it up. And so after class, and Justice just stays quiet during class, but he walked up to his teacher after class and he said, Miss So-and-so, I'm not going to have the flu this year. And she said, oh, really? Why is that? And he said, well, because every morning on the way to school, we confess and we say 1,000 may fall beside us, 10,000 at the other side, but it won't come near me. That flu will not come near me. And she wrote me an email and she said it so ministered to her that
so cool.
She took that scripture, Psalm 91, went and looked it up, printed it off and hung it up on her bulletin board in her classroom.
I thought she said she put it on her mirror or something.
Yeah,
she could see it every day.
Yeah, she began looking at it every day and ministering to her. But how awesome is that? It's that constant repetition of doing something day after day, putting the Word in their hearts regarding a certain thing that they're dealing with or a subject. And pretty soon, they're the little lights shining and ministering it to other people.
Well, think about how much that stood out that day. And that's what we're talking about, right? The distinguishing differences between the house of faith and every other house.
Yeah.
Well, how much did that stand out in a classroom full of teachers and kids that are just talking sickness, and how everybody's sick, and if you're not sick yet, you're going to get sick. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, this 9-year-old, who was probably 8 years old at the time, pops up and says, I'm not getting it. Wait a second. Yeah. That stands out.
Yeah.
Why would that stand out? Well, that's a night and day kind of difference.
Yeah.
Well, in the house of faith, we just talk different.
Yeah.
We believe, therefore we speak.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that would fault us for this and that would attack this message and say, that's crazy to think that, you know, your words are powerful. That's craziness. And my response to that is, if your words have no power in them, then you're not born again. Because that's how you are born again.
Yeah.
By believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
And there's enough power in your heart and your mouth being in the same place,
yes,
believing
amen.
It, speaking it, mm-hmm. saying it. There's enough power in that mm-hmm. to save you for eternity.
Yeah.
You better believe there's enough power in it to heal your body, to provide for your family.
Yeah. To keep you healthy.
We're different in this house. Mm-hmm. And I would say rule number one, the rule's not a good word, but in the house of faith, we put the word first. That's who we are. That's what we do. We are so thankful for the opportunity to spend this time with you. And I'm glad that you're taking the time, putting the word of God first place in your life. When you do that, when you honor God by putting His word first, He honors you. And you know, healing in your body is Him honoring you. Him providing for you and for your family, that's Him honoring you. And that's His response to you honoring Him. If you've missed any of the broadcasts leading up to this so far, go to kcm.org and get caught up with us. We've been talking a lot about what it means to raise a family in the house of faith. And this is a very interesting time for Sarah and I to be here and to be talking to you right now, because we've been at a crossroads in our life, in our ministry for some time now, and we're getting ready to take a next step, a big step, and we are launching Legacy Church. This is our own church. We're moving our family. We're moving our ministry to Colorado. This has been a dream in our hearts for a long time. And these are some of the things that we've been talking about on this broadcast. And these things are not just significant for us and where we're at this time, but I believe they'll be a blessing to you. And while you're there at kcm.org getting caught up on all the broadcasts, take a look at the notes that go right along with these messages. kcm.org/notes. That'll take you right to the page where you can download the notes from these broadcasts, study along with us as we go, share them with other people. Do what it takes to get these words and these truths and this revelation down on the inside of you. And when you do, when the Word of God quits just being something you've heard and it becomes something you know, then you can't be talked out of it just by hearing something else. But now you know it. And that's really why these resources exist. It's for you to get the Word of God into your life in such a way that you can't be talked out of it anymore. It takes root. It sprouts up. It bears fruit. Amen. And your life becomes an example of what our good God can do in the lives of anybody who will take Him at His word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before Your word again today with eyes wide open, ears wide open, hearts wide open to receive, to see, hear, and understand good things from You. We ask You for Your help in this as we minister these truths from Your word. Lead us and guide us by Your Spirit. And Father, I pray over everybody watching and listening to these broadcasts right now. I ask that You take these words, root them down deep on the inside, cause them to take root in their lives and sprout up and bear fruit that proves how good You are. We give You praise and thanks for the good work You've begun. We call You faithful to finish it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, for the last couple of days, we've been looking at Galatians chapter 6, specifically verse 10, that says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." That's the house we're a part of. That's the house you want to be a part of if you aren't. That's the family of God. And again, Christianity is not a religion. It's a Father and His family. That's who we are. We're part of the Father's family. But when we're talking about the household of faith, we're not just talking about just people who are born again. That's a good thing. But I'm talking specifically about people who have taken that same truth that they were born again by, and they live their lives by it. What truth, what principle were you born again by? Well, you believed in your heart, and you spoke with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you were saved. That's what the Scripture says in the book of Romans chapter 10. Well, you take that same principle, and if you're going to live by the faith that you're born again by, you apply that to every day. You believe in your heart, you say with your mouth. That's the principle of faith. And that's one of the things that makes this house different than any other house. And Sarah, that's what we're dealing with, these distinguishing things that differentiate the house of faith from every other house in the world. Mm-hmm. And you learn to pick up on it. You learn to be aware of it. I remember one time when we were living in that first little house, we couldn't have been married more than a year or two. We had some things go wrong with our internet service, I think. So I had to call the internet provider, and I go through their maze of option one and two and all that, and finally get connected to somebody. And the guy answered the phone, and he said his name, the company he worked for, and so on. And he said, "Who am I speaking with?" I said, gave him my name. And he said, "How are you doing today?" I said, "I'm doing well. How are you?" And he said, "Oh, just living in the victory." I thought, living in the victory? I said, "Is this has got to be a faith guy." I said, "Man, living in the victory, you sound like a faith guy." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, absolutely." And man, we struck up this conversation right then and there, just because I learned to pick up on not just the words, but the tone.
Yeah, spirit
of faith. Faith has a tone, and you're right, it's the spirit behind it. And we got to talking, and it didn't take long to get around. You know, I work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Actually, that's my family. That's my grandparents. He's like, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" He said, "I've got the KCM calendar on my wall right in front of me right now." I was like, "Oh, really? Well, turn to month so-and-so. That's me and my family right there." He's like, "Oh, are you kidding me?" And this guy, the Lord really used that to help me. He said, "You know, no matter how alone you start to feel in this life and walk of faith," he said, don't feel alone. Yeah. "I got people everywhere." Yeah. This is the guy working on my internet. Is a house of faith, you know?
I think that's good what you said about it being, of course, the scripture tells us the spirit of faith.
Yeah.
But it's really something you can sense.
You can.
Not just saying, "Oh, yeah, that person has a spirit of faith," or "that person has a spirit of faith." It's something you sense. Mm-hmm. And in an atmosphere, you sense it. And that's why it's so important for us to get together with other people that have a spirit of faith and come together in an atmosphere of faith and not be just on our own all the time. That's why we always go every year to conferences and places that we believe, our home church, where there is a spirit of faith in that sanctuary. Right. Because when we come together with other believers, it is strong in there. And that faith, that combined corporate faith, is powerful. And it's a force to be reckoned with. I mean, you better think twice before you bring something against something so tangible and real, that spirit of faith in the sanctuary. And so even in our families, that spirit of faith, when me and you are getting together, how many times have we seen miracles with the prayer of agreement?
Yeah.
Because I have a spirit of faith, you have a spirit of faith, and when we get together on something, it is powerful.
Absolutely.
And we've seen miracle after miracle in our lives.
Yeah.
Our finances, our family.
Over and over again.
Our children, their healing.
Their health, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is the motivation that Sarah and I are taking this next step in our lives and ministry and launching Legacy Church coming later this year. That's what we're determined that church spirit is going to be.
Yes.
I mean, I am determined that somebody can walk into that place and be in there a minute and say, "There's faith here."
Well, think about all the people that are coming with us. Yeah. We've had couples and families from all over the place have come to us and said, "The Lord's dealing with us to come and help you and to come be a part." This is even before we announced the church. And we started to get a clue last year. Wait, there's got to be a church because these people are about to pick up their lives and move and come and help us, leave their churches, leave where they're at. And we're like, "Lord, what are you doing here?" Well, if you've got that many people that are stepping out in faith, all of us, I mean, I think we've got almost 40 people with just kids that are just a part of this launch team. That's not even everybody that's coming. That's just the ones we know about. But think about it. I mean, you've got all these people that are leaving their homes, leaving their families, leaving everything to go follow Jesus and come into one place, stepping out by faith. Half of them don't have a job yet. Stepping out, think about what's going to happen.
I hadn't thought about that.
Think about what's going to happen in that sanctuary when we all get together and God has done miracle after miracle for each one of us, provided jobs, provided homes, provided everything that we need. Yeah. All of us are going to have a story that gives God glory.
That's right.
And it's just going to be something special. What if, you know, it's one thing for me and you to do that. It's another thing for 40 people to pick up their lives and by faith step out just like Abraham did and go and step out when they don't know where they're going, they don't know all the details, but they go. That's that same spirit of faith. And think about all these people coming together. This place is going to be a powerhouse.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's going to literally affect the atmosphere of the room.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be able to sense it like you're talking about. And that spirit is something that you can sense. Just the same way you can step into an environment. You can step into a place where maybe moments before you got there, people were just at each other's throat and fighting and nagging at one another. And even if when the front door opened, everybody was all smiles, if you are spiritually aware at all, you can step into that and you can sense that there's been strife there. Yeah. These things are tangible.
Yeah.
They really are. Well, the same way that that's tangible, this spirit of faith is very tangible. And even if somebody doesn't know exactly what all to say about it or the right words to put around it, I'm believing that this house of faith that the Lord's calling us to launch and to start, somebody can step into it for the first time and say, I don't know what it is, but there's something different here. Mm-hmm. And we'll be quick to tell them, it's faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
This is what it'll do. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll put hope in your voice. Mm-hmm. It'll put hope in your heart.
Yeah.
Faith in Jesus. And it's like you've always said, faith in Him will give you a story that will give Him glory.
Yeah.
And this is another one of those things that I believe defines us, differentiates us. We saw it on yesterday's broadcast when we were looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 5, everywhere you see the word we come up. We believe, therefore we speak. We do not lose heart. We do not look at the things that are seen. What you're identifying there is this is what goes on in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's not going on in any other house anywhere else, in this house, we believe, therefore we speak. In this house, we do not lose heart. In this house, we don't look at the things that are seen. In this house, we look at the things that are unseen.
Yeah.
And that's different. That's really different than it is everywhere else. But in this house, I don't care if everybody else gets to walk by sight. I don't care if everybody else gets to live by what they see and what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear your Heavenly Father saying this? In this house, in my house, we walk by faith and not by sight. This is one of those things that defines us and differentiates us from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's the determination to walk by faith. And so I believe we're talking about the launch of this church and this next step of ministry for us and the people coming with us. But you know what? I think it had to happen this way.
Mm-hmm.
We had to, every one of us, come to this crossroads and decide, am I walking forward in faith or backwards in fear?
Yeah.
And I am. I hadn't thought of it till you said it, but it's going to be a room full of people. And if we got nothing else, we've got our faith.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't know anything else, we know that He's good and He's faithful to His word.
Mm-hmm.
And we're expecting some glory stories.
Amen.
I just
see people lined up at the front of the church going one by one, telling what God's done for them, how He blessed them with this house, how he blessed them with this job, how He just poured out His goodness on each one of them for stepping out and following Him.
Yeah. There's one couple I'm thinking of right now that's coming from another state. And they came to us months ago and said, you know, the Lord's had you guys on our hearts and we feel like we're supposed to help you. And we said, well, okay. We're not hiring. You know, we didn't promise a job to anybody or anything like that. They said, it's okay. We're not expecting that. And they began right then putting things in motion, talked to their leadership. They worked for another church, great church. And they'd been there a long time, but they're just taking steps to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the time came just not long ago, their last day at work. And, you know, they may have a party for you or something, but there's no paycheck tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But he and I were talking recently, and I want to say just in the months since they decided to step out, an extra, this is outside their paycheck, I want to say it was somewhere between an extra $15,000 and $20,000has come into them.
Yeah.
And I told him too, I said, man, listen to me. All you have to do is put vision out there.
Yeah.
People love vision.
Yeah.
They want to be a part of vision. Faith inspires people.
Yeah.
They want to be a part of it. And they didn't go asking anybody for anything. All they said was, we believe the Lord's calling us to help the Pearsons, and that's what we're going to go do.
Yeah.
And people have been almost knocking each other over going, let me be a part of that.
Yeah.
Let me be a part of that. Somebody the other day put $5,000 in their hand. Mm-hmm. Let me be a part of that. I'm telling you, there's a difference.
Yeah.
People recognize the difference in this house.
Yeah.
And I know that there have been other people in their lives that have come to him and said, what, are you crazy?
Yeah.
How can you, well, he was telling me about this conversation he had with a friend of his on the phone. He's like, well, do you have a house out there? And our friend just said, by faith, I do.
Yeah.
He's like, no, really, tell me, do you have a house? He said, I'm telling you what I want to say about this, and I have a house.
Yeah.
The guy's like, okay, fine, whatever, I get it. But by the end of the conversation, our friend was unwilling to bend what he was going to say to make it make sense to somebody else. I'm sorry, that's just what it's like in this house.
Exactly.
We believe, therefore we speak.
Don't you think that along with walking by faith, people, a part of being in the house of faith is being led by the Spirit?
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking about how this is the whole thing to me, the whole move and picking up and leaving everything, going on this adventure with God. I really believe that people with a spirit of faith have a spirit of adventure.
It's true.
And they are going to step out when God whispers go. They're going to take risk when others play it safe. They're going to live life on the edge of their seats, ready to hear God speak the next thing to their spirit. And like this couple you're talking about, they are so stirred up and excited. Why do they see in the natural that could make them be excited? They have no house that they're going to. They have no job that they're going to. But their spirits are so stirred up. They said they feel like it's Christmas every day because they're so excited about what God's doing and this move and going. And I'm thinking about this scripture in Romans chapter 8, and it's in the Message. And it says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children.
Yeah.
And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we know, if we go through those hard times, we're certainly, I don't have the rest of this on here, I don't think. But basically, the one part I wanted to get to is we know who He is. We know who we are. We're His children. He's our Father. And when we're always waiting for His Spirit to touch our spirit and to confirm that with us and to show us, here's what's next. Go on this adventure with me. I just believe that God I believe that He is the great adventurer. And when just about when we get comfortable in life,
right,
He's ready to do something new and exciting. He's always ready to say, hey, you want to go do this with me? You want to step out? You want to go?
You want to see something cool.
You want to see something cool? And He's always ready for the next great adventure. And I think that is deep in us. There's this fire in us to go after and do this thing. We've only got one life to live.
Yeah.
And it's worth it to be in the perfect will of God for your life, to go after when He calls you to get up and go, to go. He'll take care of you.
And what she's reading from Romans 8 in the King James, New King James, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Yeah.
So we're talking about things that
family.
Define us and characterize us as His family and distinguish us from the other family that's in this world. And one of the defining characteristics of a child of God is that we are led not by sight, not by what we feel, not by money, not by other people, but by His Spirit.
Amen, amen.
And what Sarah is saying about the spirit of adventure is absolutely right. Remember when we talked about what the psalmist said, how deep calls unto deep?
Yeah.
We talked about that, you and I, some months ago, how anybody, any adventurer, any explorer, even somebody who's gone places nobody's ever been before, even somebody who's gone to depths, dived to depths that nobody's ever been before, as soon as they come up and everybody's celebrating and what'd you see and what was it like, you know, you celebrate that and you talk about it, but there's this thing on the inside of them that's going, I wonder what's deeper.
Yeah.
I wonder what's deeper. I wonder what is just beyond that last step I took. Mm-hmm. And that same spirit, you're absolutely right. It's in us because that's what's in God.
Yeah.
There's this deep that's calling unto you. And as deep as you've been before, there's a deeper still yet to go. As high as you've been in God before, there's higher still
Amen.
Yet to go. But you're going to have to live with that sense and spirit of adventure.
Yeah.
And step out into, we call it the unknown. Really, it's just the unseen.
Yeah.
Because you can know.
Yeah, you can know.
You can know. Maybe you can't describe with, you know, all the details the future, mm-hmm. but you do know this, in God it's good.
Yeah.
You do know this, that mercy waits for you because His mercy endures forever. Mm-hmm. So there's mercy in the future for you. There's grace out there waiting for you.
Yeah.
There's abundance out there waiting for you. And when nobody else will take a step into the future because they're gripped and riddled with fear of the unknown, you step into it because it's not unknown, it's just unseen.
Yeah.
It's just unseen. Yeah. And that's what makes us different.
Yeah.
So what makes us the house of faith? In this house, we put the Word first.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In this house, we walk by faith and not by sight. And in this house, we are led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
These things make us different.
Yeah.
These things make you, let's just be honest, kind of strange. They make you a little bit different. You're not normal, okay? If your family hadn't told you that yet, let me be the first to inform you. You're not normal. But listen to me. Normal out there is broke and sick and depressed and dying. You don't want to be normal, do you? Come on. Let's be strange together here. In this house, we're different. It's a night and day difference. In this house, Word comes first. In this house, we walk by faith. In this house, we are led by His Spirit. There's more of these that Sarah and I want to get into with you over the next couple of days of broadcast. So I want to make sure you are taking time, set it aside to get into this with us. And you hear us talk a lot about the house we grew up in, the one I grew up in, the Copeland house, and even the house that we have now raising these kids. Look, none of them are perfect, but there are some things you want to get right. And these are the things we're dealing with right now. And we're learning, we're growing, we're thanking God for it. And even if you didn't grow up in a house like this, your house right now can become a house of faith. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity to get to minister the Word of God to you. And I want to say thank you to my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for inviting us to sit here in their places and spend time with you, this global congregation. This is an awesome thing to us. And it is no small thing when you stop and realize the scope of this ministry and how many people mm-hmm. are being reached with the Word of God on a daily basis. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big deal. And not to mention how long it's been going on. I mean, we're celebrating 30 years of the Believer's Voice of Victory daily broadcast this
year.
That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of days.
That's a lot of people.
A lot of people reached,
yeah.
a lot of lives changed. And if you're one of those, mm-hmm. KCM wants to hear from you. We want to hear about the good things that our good God has done in your life. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts leading up to this today, I encourage you to go get caught up with us. You can watch all of the past ones at kcm.org. And while you're there, take a look at the study notes that go along with all of these teachings. kcm.org/notes will take you right to the study notes for everything that Sarah and I have been doing all last week on the broadcast, and of course this week as well. And we've been talking about what it means to live a legacy, living a legacy. And people are always focused on leaving one, but you need to realize the life that you live is the legacy that you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're sitting here talking about these things, I can't help but think about my own grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and of all the things they have blessed us with, and they've blessed our family and our cousins and moms and dads and aunts and uncles. They've just tremendously blessed us. But you know what? I'd give it all back if I could just if it just meant having more of that, that same spirit of faith. That's the thing that I'm so thrilled with, that my grandparents have been so diligent to live and to demonstrate and to walk out in front of this family. They've done that for as long as I've been around, and this is my 40th year this year, and I'm just so grateful for them, so grateful for the way they've put the same spirit of faith in us that they've lived with. We've talked about that on these broadcasts leading up to this, and this week we've been focusing really on what it means to raise a family in the house of faith. And let's look at this scripture again together in the book of Galatians, chapter 6. This has been our foundation all week long. Father, we thank you for your word today. Your word is the foundation underneath our feet. Your word lights our path. We give you all the praise and the glory for what your word is able to do in our lives. Save, heal, restore, deliver, set free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And this is what we've been dealing with this week, what it means to raise a family in the household of faith. And the more we progress, especially, Sarah, in this culture that you and I are living in right now, this line between day and night, light and dark, is becoming more pronounced. It's becoming clearer and clearer. And what I'm seeing is the... help me say this, Lord, the difference, you know, the biggest difference that could exist between two people is not race or skin color. It's not gender. It's not economic status. It's not nationality. The biggest difference that could exist between two people is one being born again and the other is not. Mm-hmm. Now, right now in this culture that we're living in, and I'm sure it's all over the world, but it seems to be very magnified in the United States right now, that people are very honed in on these big differences between us. And there's fights, the racial tensions are high again, and there's fights between men and women, and there's fights between rich and poor, and these Satan's doing everything he can to magnify those differences. But what you need to understand is those are not the biggest differences that could exist between people. The biggest difference that could exist between two people is one born again and full of the Holy Ghost and the other not. One in the house of faith, one not.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing, and you and I talk about this, but there is another family.
There's two families
out there.
Yeah.
There is another household out there. And I think sometimes Christians got to be careful over how they talk and deal with things and say, well, that's not family and that's not family. Well, no, it is. Mm-hmm. The truth is, God's always had a way of doing things and Satan's always had a counterfeit for God's way.
Yeah.
So anything else that goes on in the world that people call family or any other label they want to put on it, perhaps it is, but at very best, it's a counterfeit of what God calls family. And so what we're dealing with in these broadcasts this week is drawing this line and making the determination that we are of the household of faith.
Yeah.
That's the house we're a part of. That's the house we're going to raise our kids in. And then asking ourselves, okay, well, what's that mean? What makes the house of faith different than every other house? And it's like we talked about several days ago. Every kid experiences this growing up. When they come home and say, can I go here? Can I do this? My friends are going here. My friends are doing that. And mom and dad say, no, sorry.
Yeah.
And every kid at least once has responded with, well, that's not fair. So-and-so is going. They get to do that. And that same kid has heard back from mom and dad, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if everybody does. I don't care if everybody goes. We don't. In this house, this is how we do things. And the same principle applies to growing up and raising a family in the house of faith. In this house, we put the Word of God first. And we don't put anybody else's word above His word. We don't put the word of a doctor above the Word of God. We don't put the word of a lawyer above the Word of God. We don't put the word of other family or friends or coworkers above the Word of God. His Word is first. His Word's given first word, last word, and every word in between. Mm. And that makes us different. That makes us strange in the eyes of a lot of people. But in this house, this is how we do it. Yeah. In this house, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't let what we see and feel call the shots. We don't let it determine the direction we take, the moves that we make. We let faith that comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God, we let the faith that rises in response to the Word that we've heard call the shots and the directions that we take, the steps that we take, the moves that we make. I know that makes us different, but that's house of faith. Mm-hmm. That's what it is to grow up in this house. In this house, what else do we talk about? We are led by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. This is a defining and distinguishing characteristic of growing up and raising a family in the house of faith. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is what defines us. We're led by His Spirit. And you have that Spirit. If you're born again, then the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you and will quicken you on the inside. It'll quicken this mortal flesh. It'll quicken you on the inside, and you can see and you can know which way to go. And you ought to say that out loud right now. I can see.
I can see.
And I can know,
which way
I am to go. That makes us different.
Yeah.
But so be it.
Yeah.
This is what it means to be in the house of faith.
Amen.
So I want to keep talking about this on today's broadcast and then on tomorrow's as we begin to wrap this up. Things that make us who we are, that distinguish this house from any other house in the world. Is there anything else that comes to your mind? I mean, we've got a list here. We've talked about things. But what comes to your heart when we talk about these things that just make us who we are?
I'm thinking about, we go after the plan of God.
Yeah.
We follow God's plan for our life. That's first and foremost.
Yeah.
It's valuable to us. It's God's word and His plan for our life is a treasure, and we'll go after it.
We pursue His plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what makes that different than any other house. In any other house, most of the time kids are being told, you can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere you want to go. You work hard enough, you apply yourself, and it sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
It sounds like the right principle. But in this house, it's not you can go anywhere you want to go, you can do anything or be anything you want to be. In this house, the house of faith, we pursue His plan, not our own. The plan of God for our lives, not our own plan for our lives.
You can be anything God has called you to be.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we tell the kids this all the time, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Find out what He's called you to be,
yeah,
and you can be that. That brings a scripture to mind. Where is that, Lord? I believe it's in the book of Proverbs, and if it's not, it's in the Psalms. But in the book of, let's try Proverbs first. Aha, there you are. Proverbs chapter 14, it says in verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And the same thing's echoed again just a few chapters later in chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's a pretty startling verse when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've spent a lot of time over this last year in our own ministry, as you and I've traveled and ministered on TV and in our services, we've been talking about the crossroads,
mm-hmm,
talking about stepping into the intersections in life and needing to know which way to go. We're here in Proverbs. Let's just look at this. It's Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 20, it says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Listen to what wisdom is saying. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. Now the Amplified Bible pulls out all these places where wisdom, the wisdom of God, the wisdom that created the heavens and the earth, the wisdom that set this thing up from the beginning. Where is that wisdom? Well, the Amplified Bible says that wisdom is crying aloud in the streets, in the markets, at the heads of the noisy intersections. That's what the Amplified Bible says. And we've talked so much about this, but I'm so thankful that that's where God put His wisdom. He didn't hide it somewhere far away. He didn't make you have to go dig and spend your life on some quest looking for the hidden places of wisdom. No, where's wisdom hanging out? In the street,
yeah.
In the markets, in the intersections. Why these places? What's so significant and what's so holy and sacred that wisdom would be in these places? Nothing. The only thing that makes these places significant is that's where you are.
Yeah.
And because that's where you are, that's where God put His wisdom, because that's where you need it. Every day, right? We get in the car, we pull out into the street, we're on our way to what? Work. We're on our way to school, we're on our way to meetings, to lunches, to this, to that. Well, guess who else is there? Wisdom.
Yeah.
Talking to you. And that's where you need it. You need the wisdom of God on your way to work. Amen, yeah. Right? You need the wisdom of God on your way to the meeting. You need the wisdom of God on your way to school, on your way to class.
Yeah.
Where else is the wisdom of God? In the markets.
We live like this every day.
Yeah.
And teach our kids to live like it. I mean, we are listening for the voice of wisdom throughout our whole day. When right. we're at the supermarket, when we're going picking out groceries, which vegetables we should buy, which I'm constantly listening to
the
Lord.
See, I always think of you when I think of the scripture, how wisdom's in the markets. And what you may not know about Sarah is that years ago, she started our family on this track of making the right choices on what we eat. And what I've watched this turn into is you literally walking around the markets. And I don't care if it's the supermarket or the stock market. Sarah, for our family, is in the supermarket making choices. And I mean, how much have you come to depend on the wisdom of God for that?
Oh yeah. Every time I go to the grocery store, I ask the Lord, what do we need? What does our family need for our bodies? What do we need? You know, a lot of people believing for healing. There's another part of believing for the healing of God in your body. It is getting wisdom. The wisdom of God for your body and finding out what He says, put this in, don't eat this, do eat this, you know? And it's an amazing thing to start listening for the Lord and acknowledging Him in all your ways. Yeah. Then He will direct your path.
He'll
acknowledge
direct your
Him.
What?
Your path.
Your path.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about, pursuing His plan. Mm-hmm. Or you could say it like that, being on His path. There's a way that seems right, but the end is death. Yeah. You don't want to go down that road, yeah. right? Pursuing His plan. Acknowledge the Lord and He will direct your path.
Even when we're going to the store to go shopping or wherever we're going, we always check in with the Lord. Lord, where should we go? I don't want to waste a whole day. I don't have a few hours to waste. I need all the time I can get in a day to get done what God's called me to do.
Right.
So Lord, where should we go? Where should we not go? Check your heart before you go out. I mean, this is part of being protected and part of God being able to surround you and hover you over you and your angels to go with you is being where He tells you to be and not going to the places He warned you not to go.
That's right.
That's part of Psalm 91, which it's amazing that so much of we can't separate being led by the Holy Spirit from believing God for protection
That's
or
right.
believing God for healing.
That's right.
And so this is a huge part of it, listening for wisdom and throughout your whole day.
Now apply
checking
that
in.
To what we were reading here about the way that seems right. You might get in the car and you're thinking, well, I need to go hear this today or something.
Yeah.
And there's something on the inside it's checking you. It doesn't seem right. And you might think, well, what's wrong with that? I go there every day. Well, you don't know. You need, to you, it just seems like the thing to do.
Yeah.
Don't ignore that.
Yeah.
Don't push that aside.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I feel like there's so many stories coming on my mind, things we've experienced, other people, just the Lord that is, He's so faithful to watch over. Mm-hmm. But I want to get to what the scripture said here, Proverbs 1, how wisdom is crying out at the heads of the noisy intersections. What is an intersection? It's a place where paths meet, and it's a place where you have to make a decision about what direction you're going to take. And that's where God put His wisdom. I mean, where else do you need it? But right there in those intersections, Lord, do I keep going this way? Do I hang a left? Do I take a right? You're in an intersection. You need to know which way to go. Now, every day we're stepping up to these intersections. Whether you realize it or not, decisions are being made, choices are being made, and you might be standing at the intersection. We used to talk to teenagers all the time about standing at the crossroads of spirit and flesh. And every day you got to decide, am I going to yield to the willingness of my spirit, or am I going to yield to the weakness of my flesh? And it wasn't until a little later on we realized adults need to hear this message too. But you stand at these crossroads every day, the crossroads of right and wrong, the crossroads of good and bad. Here's a crossroads for you, the crossroads of good and better. Mm-hmm. Which way am I going to go? Mm. Good path or a better path? Mm-hmm. How about this one, the crossroads of better and best? I mean,
that's the crossroads of compromise. Where you come up to a decision where you're either going to compromise or you're going to wait on God's best for your life.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And every day you and I are coming up to these crossroads and these intersections. And I'm so thankful that that's where God put his wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that's where the wisdom of God is crying out. Now, we're talking about raising a family in the house of faith. And what makes us different from other houses is that we don't just step up to the crossroads and look at the way that just seems the best. Mm-hmm. We take the time to turn our ears to the wisdom of God. Now, here's what the Amplified Bible said right there in Proverbs chapter 1, that wisdom's crying out in the noisy intersections. Yeah. So evidently, wisdom's voice is not the only one speaking. There's a lot of noise in these decision-making moments. You got noise coming from every direction, voices telling you to come here, go there, do this, pulling on you this way. But I want you to notice what wisdom said in verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? That word simple, if you look it up, one of the definitions of it is easily seduced. If you keep studying it, you're going to find that what goes with it is an openness to evil. Somebody who's simple, according to Scripture, is somebody who's easily seduced, or they are too open, talking about their heart, to evil, to wrong. And that's interesting because this culture we're in right now preaches to us, you got to be open. You got to be open to what I think. You got to be open to my feelings. Mm-hmm. You got to be open to my religion. Mm-hmm. And you can love people, but you don't have to be open to everything they say. Mm-mm. And there is such a thing as being too open. And if you are so open, listening to every single voice that has something to say, you are going to stand at that intersection confused, mm-hmm. to frustration about which way do I go in my life? What plan, what path do I pursue? But if you and I can learn to tune in the voice of wisdom and tune out every other voice, I think of it like this: when we're in a crowded place and I might be away from you or the kids, but I guarantee you, if I hear your voice crying out my name, my ear's tuned to it.
Yeah.
And I can hear that. If I can hear one of my kids going, Daddy, my ear is tuned to that voice. Well, you could be the same way with the voice of the wisdom of God. In this house, we pursue His plan, not our own, which means you're going to have to be able to hear wisdom's voice.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What else would you have to say about that? I know we've talked a lot about this. Yeah. Over the last year or so. What about like in this intersection that we've been in?
Yeah.
Where the Lord's been calling us out. Mm-hmm. Texas has been our home my whole life and since we got married, but the Lord's started talking about Colorado.
Yeah.
What stood out to you while we've been in this intersection?
A huge part of wisdom, getting the wisdom of God, is willingness.
Oh, that's
good. To hear the wisdom.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a willing heart, you won't have that hearing ear or that ability to hear or to sense what the Spirit of God is doing.
That's really good.
And if you want to go where God's going, the Bible talks about it in these words, cleave to Him, mm-hmm. where you know when He's moving, you know when it's time to go and to move, and you know when He's dealing with you. You can recognize or sense when something's different.
Yeah.
And all of this is learning to be led by the Spirit of God. That's one of the greatest things we could learn in our Christian walk with God, being a son or a daughter of God, being in the family, a distinguishing characteristic is learning how to be led by the Spirit of God, how to know and recognize His plan for your life.
So important.
And that's what we talked about last week from Romans chapter 8, but it's a huge part of being in the family.
It is.
Being able to hear, being able to follow, being able to sense and to pick up when He's dealing with you, where He's telling you to go, when He's telling, He doesn't speak to you in an audible voice. Well, I'm sure some people have, I've never heard an audible voice, but He speaks in that still small voice on the inside. You just have a knowing about it, or the Bible calls it an unction from the Holy One.
Yeah.
And you know what to do.
Yeah.
You know where to go. You know, even in our house, we don't let our kids say, we don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I think about this. No, the Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One. We
yeah.
know all things. We don't let them say, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't do a cartwheel. I can't do this. I can't take it. I can't take this pain. We were just dealing with this with earlier today with our little girl. She burned her finger and she said, I just can't take this. And we said, no, change your words and you can.
Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what we do.
This is who we are. This is what we do. We're out of time on this broadcast, but this is what it means to raise a family in the house of faith. We pursue His plan and not our own. Hello, welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We're Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons, and we're glad to be with you again today. It has been our joy, our privilege, our honor to have been with you all this week and last week on the broadcast. I want to say one more time to my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, thank you. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to minister to this awesome congregation of people all over the world. This, it's a privilege and it's a rich honor for us to, when we think about the 30 years that this daily broadcast has been on TV and many more years of outreach through weekly television and meetings going on all over the world. And I'm telling you, it's just an awesome thing to us. And we are honored, so thankful to be a part of your family, so thankful to be a part of this ministry, to be partners with you in ministry, and we're grateful for this opportunity today. And those of you watching, if you've not been a part of these broadcasts with us so far, then go to kcm.org, get caught up. We've had a great time.
Had fun. It's been awesome.
You had fun?
Mm-hmm.
I've had fun. You're cute. And get caught up with us. Sorry, I got distracted there for a second. But get caught up with all the broadcasts, anything that you've missed. We've been talking about living a legacy, not just leaving a legacy, but living a legacy, because the life that you live is the legacy that you leave. And all these 2 weeks, to me, in my own heart, and I know Sarah would say the same, that this has been, we've been preaching in honor of my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and her family, our moms and dads, and our Mimis and our pawpaws. Just thankful for the legacy of faith that we've been given. And on last week's broadcast, I read to you that quote from Reverend Billy Graham that said, the greatest legacy one could leave one's children or grandchildren is a legacy of character and faith.
Yeah.
And that's what Sarah and I believe we've been given from our parents and grandparents. So to sit on this broadcast and get to share some of these things with you has been a real rich joy and a privilege for us. And like I said, if you missed anything, kcm.org, you can get all the way caught up there. And if you'll go to kcm.org/notes, you can get all the study notes for all these broadcasts, read along with us, study along with us, and then turn around and preach it. Preach it like you made it up. I mean, just go for it. Get this word into your life and then turn around and sow it into the lives of other people. Mm. Let's pray together, get right back into the word. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Thank you for your help on these broadcasts. We have had such a wonderful time with your people and spending time in your word and in your presence. We ask you today to help us finish these things strong. Give us words to speak and an unction from the Holy Spirit. We have an anointing. We trust in it, rest in it, rely on you in it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us foundation underneath our feet. We declare over everybody watching and listening today that this will be a strength, a support, and an encouragement to them. And they will hear this and be changed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So again, we've been talking about living this legacy and raising a family in the house of faith. And I feel like if there's anything I can draw on from my own experience and talk about, it would be that. Because this was my house. This is what it was like growing up in my house. It was faith. Faith all the time. Faith in the Word. Faith in Jesus. And it was faith in the morning, faith at noontime, faith when the sun went down. And we just did things different in my house. that it was just different in my house than it was at other kids' house. And all my friends were Christian kids. I went to a Christian school. They were all church-going kids. But somewhere along, I don't know, late elementary, early junior high, I started figuring out there's a difference. Mm-hmm. We're a little bit different than the rest of these guys. I know I had some friends. I'll just be honest. I liked going over there because we got to watch stuff I didn't get to watch at home. And that's not a good thing. You know, we got to eat things over there. What are these Twinkies? You know, we didn't get all that stuff in my house. But anyway, it just I recognized a difference in growing up in the house that I was in, as opposed to other houses. And that's the same thing I want for us and for our children. And right now we're raising kids in a house of faith. And it's been a joy to watch them develop their own walk and relationship with the Lord. And our kids have said things to us, things that have, I'll be honest, steered some direction in mm-hmm. our lives and been some confirmation of some things that the Lord had for us. Tell them about some of Justice vision lists and different things and how we've seen some of that come true.
Every year we create a vision list at our house, and we write down every single thing we're believing God for that year. And I ask the kids to get involved with me on it. And we have, they come up with some stuff. You know, oftentimes I'm like, really? Like in my heart, I'm thinking, is that really what you're believing for? Like, that's extravagant. And the Lord will check me and say, don't limit them. Don't keep them from believing big. Don't stop them from trusting me and dreaming big. And so we've had that happen quite a few times in our house. A few of the times we've had it happen, they've come to pass, and they've been big deals. I don't know which ones.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about that house we used to live in and some of the things he was believing for.
Yeah, he wrote on his vision list he wanted a go-kart track.
Yeah.
And he wanted a soccer field. And so at first when he told me a go-kart track, I thought, okay, well, you know, that's reasonable. But then when he said the soccer field, I was thinking, really, buddy? And the Lord was like, don't check him. I had a check in my heart. Don't say anything to him. Don't stop him from believing. And he sure did. We had that on our vision list. We pray. See, we get serious about these vision lists. I mean, we hold them up before the Lord.
True.
We pray and release our faith and believe God for all those things to come into our life. And sure enough, we were looking at a house and came to find, we were looking at Google Maps and we zoomed in on the backyard, this house right before we got into it. And there was a go-kart track in the backyard, the back acre where their boys had rode go-karts all over. There was a soccer field, two soccer goals in the very back. And we realized, man, this stuff, that God is so good. And it is important to include them and take them on your journey. And so much can happen when we all come together in faith.
Amen.
And believe God together over specific things. And get specific with it, with your family. Get specific and begin to dream big and see things. Pray and ask the Lord, what do you see for our family? And we've had this happen a lot of times.
We have, over and over. And it's interesting that we go this direction today. I was thinking about this specifically.
Is this in the house of faith, we believe big?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was really sensing the Lord wanted to say today. You know, we've talked about different things that distinguish us from other houses. And number one, we put the Word of God first.
Yeah.
And that's just not happening everywhere. But in this house, that's what we do. We put the Word first. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
In this house, what was the second one?
We're led by the Spirit.
I think that was the third one. We're led by the Spirit. We talked about on yesterday's broadcast, we pursue His plan and not our own. Mm-hmm. But in this house, and I think this is one of those things that distinguish us and differentiate us from any other house, and that is this, we believe big.
Yeah.
We believe big. Yeah. I know one time the Lord had to correct me on something. I was driving away from the house one day, and there was so much change and transition going on in our lives, and we were believing God for the place to live. And I know at the time we were needing a new car, and I'm just, you know, making my faith boy confessions over our house and our car every day, house and car, house and car, house and car. And there's nothing wrong with any of that, but the Lord really did arrest me and said, Jeremy, is this it?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to me every day about a house and a car. Is this where your faith taps out?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a house and a car? And there's nothing wrong with believing God concerning these things. He wants us to have them and he wants to provide for them. But what I was recognizing was, here I am growing up in this house. I'm, you know, faith boy. And I'd been taught all these things. And the very most that I could come up with up out of my heart was these little things that we needed.
Yeah.
And the Lord helped me with it when he led me to the book of Psalm, chapter 2, verse 8. And he said, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. Now that's asking big. That is believing big. That's slightly larger than, God, I need a house and a car. Ask of me and I'll give you nations.
Yeah.
He said, I'll give you nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession.
Yeah.
Now you're listening to that going, okay, well that sounds great, but what am I going to do with a nation? What he's talking about is influence.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Father, I'm asking you, give me influence.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an impact for the kingdom of God in nations all over the world.
Yeah. We got our mind on these little things,
yeah,
like a house and a car.
Yeah.
He's thinking about families and the nations of the earth.
You want to hear something really cool? I did not see this until earlier today before we started taping. And I didn't know we were going in this direction, but as soon as you started talking, listen to this. This verse out of the Passion Translation says, ask me to give you the nations and I will do it, and they shall become your legacy.
Wow.
They shall become your legacy.
Wow.
That's inheritance.
That's amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Ask of me and I'll give you nations. Believe big. We've got to get our minds way up higher than they've been. We got to get our hearts way bigger, wider open than they've ever been.
Yeah.
Paul wrote, where was it? I believe to the Corinthian church. And he says, your heart's so constrained.
Yeah.
It's so tight. It's so narrow. And the problem with that is if God can't get it in your heart, he won't be able to get it in your hand.
Yeah.
So whatever it is he's wanting to do for you, it's got to first be able to fit in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we've got to expand. And that's why we've been praying this every day before these broadcasts start. Give us hearts open to receive and understand. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
I will give them to you. They will become your legacy.
That's awesome.
Nations.
Yeah.
In this house, we believe big.
It's awesome because that goes back to the first scripture, one of the first scriptures we started with last week in Genesis chapter 12, where the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I'll show you, and I'll make you into a great nation.
Yeah.
And I will bless you, make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. And all the families or nations of the earth will be blessed through you.
Yeah.
That's what God has on his mind.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Us being a blessing, leaving a legacy.
And one of the ways you train yourself into thinking this way is thinking in terms of impact.
Mm-hmm.
Impact. Mm-hmm. When the Lord began dealing with us about this years ago, we began to realize that there were people, this culture is churning out people more and more all the time, many of which are famous for nothing.
Yeah.
And it's really a pretty astounding thing. I mean, you could go through many names, household names, people that if you're in tune at all with what's going on out in the culture, they would be names that you would recognize. But then if you turn around and say, okay, well, what does that person do? You're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know really what they do. And one of the things the Lord began dealing with you and I on was realizing that impact is greater than fame.
Yeah.
Just because somebody knows who you are doesn't necessarily mean you're having an impact on them or the world that they live in. Impact is what we're after. We're after making a mark and leaving a mark. That's what happens when two things impact each other. Mm-hmm. A mark gets made. A mark gets left.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to see happen through our ministry, through our lives, but just through you living life. There ought to be a mark made on this world around you, an impact made. Whether anybody in this world ever knows you as a famous person or not, we're believing God for impact.
Yeah.
We're believing God to impact the nations.
Yeah.
With the gospel. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I was heading somewhere with that. Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't it important for us to evaluate our life, though?
Yeah.
And look at it every day. What are we doing, Lord, to make an impact? We only have so much time on this earth. And what if we're spending the majority of our time doing something that is just, I see so much of this on social media, the people spending all their time trying to make a name for themselves, mm-hmm. trying to gain followers, trying to build a business, trying to do all these things. What about our impact on the world? What about doing something that leaves a real legacy? What about focusing on something that's really valuable and a treasure in life? And these are the things of God. These are the things of the kingdom that we can pass on to our children, pass on to all the people that God brings into in contact with us. We have a legacy to leave and to live.
When you and I started believing God a year or so ago, just on this property that we have here in Fort Worth for our ministry, we felt like the Lord was telling us, He gave us these four words, buy up and build out. That's what He told us. And when He ministered that to us, I looked immediately at this other building that was on our ministry property that we wanted to purchase and bring into the ministry. There was a TV studio in it that we could use and about 10,000 square foot facility. And so it seemed good to buy up and build that out. And one of the things the Lord told us years ago, when we were first looking for ministry property, He said, I'm going to give you a list of things and you need to be familiar with these things so that when you actually see your property in the flesh, you'll recognize it because you've already made the list. I've already described it to you. And one of the things He said to us about it was, it'll be a platform from which you reach the nations. That's what the Lord said about it years ago, a platform from which you'd reach the nations. So we started believing God to do that. Now, since that time, He's course corrected that. The assignment's still the same, but now we're just believing God to do it on this property in Colorado that we have under contract and we're purchasing. But we're calling it the same thing. It's still a platform from which we reach the nations. And the Lord ministered to us about that word platform. And if I take time to find it, there it is right there. Wasn't planning on going this direction exactly. But in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, now the whole book of Nehemiah, you may know this, is a big building project. So this is why this spoke to me. That's what we were in the middle of, buying up and building out. And that's what this entire book is about. The people of God got it in their hearts to rebuild the city of God and rebuild the walls and so on. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, in the midst of all this building project, it says in verse 4 that Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. Now, I won't take time to read all the verses around this, but if you go back, you'll find out that the purpose he's talking about is they wanted a place to be able to stand out in the congregation of the people and to declare the word of the Lord, to declare the word of God. That's why they built this platform. Don't you know that means something to God that His people would specifically and expressly build something for one purpose, and that was to have a place to preach the word from?
Awesome.
And that's what we're believing God to do in this property that we're headed towards. And that's what we're doing in this buy up and build out project, is it's not about a platform for Jeremy, a platform for Sarah. It's not about a platform for a person. It's about a platform with a purpose.
Yeah.
And the purpose is the preaching of the Word of God, serving our generation and others all over the world.
Yeah.
A platform from which we reach the nations.
Yeah.
I believe that's what the Lord's wanting to say in this broadcast today, is it's time for us to get the nations on our mind and in our heart.
Yeah.
And
For a family together to get the nations on their heart.
Yeah.
To sow, to give.
Yeah.
To be a part of kingdom projects, to think bigger than this, my small little thing that I have going on, my little world. I'm going to be a part of the kingdom and God's doing in all the earth.
Yeah. Yeah, it is something you can do as a family. Sow as a family into a project, into something going on. And it can be right there around you, but it might be somewhere else in the world. And what that serves to do is it opens up the hearts of your children to realize, hey, there's something going on beyond this little 3-foot circle that surrounds me.
Yeah.
And there's something happening in this world and God's called me to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And we begin to ask Him for nations.
Yeah.
And that's what we've always known for years leading up even now to the launch of this church. This is what's been in our hearts for so long, is that it would be a local church with a global call.
Yeah.
A local church with a global calling. And that's what Legacy Church, our church that's launching later this year, that's really what it is. It will be a local church, but it has a global assignment. And that church will serve as a platform from which we reach nations.
Amen. Amen.
We got to start asking big.
Yeah.
We've got to start believing big. Now, I'm not belittling the things that you're believing for. Hey, some of those same things are still on our list, so to speak. We're still believing God for these things in our lives, and that's a good thing. We've got to be doing that. But what I am encouraging you to do is not limit yourself to just the things that you feel like you need in this life. What I'm encouraging you to do is let the Lord begin to put a big vision on the inside of you. It's like the story I tell when we take the kids to Disney World all those years ago, and we were standing there at the parade when Jesse was real little, and all those lights go down, and then the big show lights come on, and it's big, it's loud, it's bright. And for a little girl like that, first time she'd ever seen it, it was sensory overload. And she's kind of hiding her face, burying it down in my chest. She's never seen anything like that. And all of a sudden, Mickey Mouse comes tap dancing right at her. Well, what do you do with that? You know, you're 2 years old. For all you know, that's an actual 6-foot mouse tap dancing right at you. That could be startling. It doesn't scare me. Now, she's up here. I'm holding her. She's seeing at my eye level. She's seeing what I see. But she's not yet seeing how I see it. Doesn't scare me. I know that the only thing going on there is that's a starving college kid in a mouse costume. I'm not afraid. We see it differently. So for her to begin to see not just what I see, but how I see it, means she's just going to have to keep living, mm-hmm. going to have to keep growing, have to keep understanding. Well, the same thing's true when we get a vision of the bigness of God's plan for our lives. Sometimes it looks big. Always it looks big, and always it looks like more than what you can meet the need of on your own. And there are people that get a glimpse of what God's called them to do and the impact He's called them to have, and maybe even a global impact, but they think, that's too far from where I am. That's not me. And instead of running at it in faith, they run from it in fear. But it's time for us, when we get a glimpse of the plan of God for our lives, don't run in fear, run at it in faith. God will get you there. He'll get you. He's gotten you as far as you are now, right? And if He got you this far, He can get you all the way. It's time to start believing big. In this house, we believe big. Sarah and I are out of time right now, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment.
God's plan for His people has never wavered. He has always intended for our lives to be a forward-moving crescendo, progressing each day from one degree of glory to the next. From Glory to Glory is a 52-week devotional by Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons, founders of Pearsons Ministries International. Drawing from their rich heritage of faith, this international speaker and author ministry team will encourage your personal spiritual growth by providing a fresh perspective on topics such as God's grace, walking in love, and being led by the Holy Spirit. Use this study time to help you develop your relationship with God and make Him more real to you than ever before. Stir up the faith within you. The life you live is the legacy you leave. Your family can experience this supernatural level of increase when you take time daily to hear His word and respond to it in faith. Experience life at its fullest, moving from glory to glory.
Take your life to the next level in God. Order your copy of Jeremy and Sarah Pearson's 52-week devotional From Glory to Glory for only $11.99 at kcm.org/tvspecial. Or when you call toll-free 800-600-7395. Follow God's plan and experience His goodness and prosperity throughout your life. Offer good for 60 days. Shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
There is only one way into this household of faith that we're talking to you about this week, and that's through Jesus. He's the way, the only way. And I know many people watching this broadcast right now, you're born again, full of the Holy Ghost, shouting amen, and that's wonderful. But if there's somebody watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, listen to me, today is the day of your salvation. And I want you to pray this with me. All you have to do is say this out loud. Believe it in your heart. Just say this, Father in heaven.
Father in heaven.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
I call him my Lord.
I call him my Lord.
He lived for me.
He lived for me.
Died for me.
Died for me.
Rose again for me.
Rose again for me.
Jesus be the Lord of my life.
Jesus be the Lord of my life.
I repent of all my sin.
I repent of all my sin.
Wash me clean.
Wash me clean.
Today I am a new creation.
Today I am a new creation.
In you, Christ Jesus.
In you, Christ Jesus.
Take my life.
Take my life.
Do something with it.
Do something with it.
And fill me.
And fill me.
With your Holy Spirit.
With your Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now listen to me. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you're born again. You're a part of God's family. You are a part of this household of faith. And we want you to know and understand more about who you are in Jesus, who He is in you. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a free gift for you. It's a salvation package, a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. When we send you this, we're going to give you these two little brochures that are going to help you learn how to read, how to study your Bible. And again, all of this is just to help you find out who you are in Jesus. This is the first day of the rest of your life. And Jesus said that when one comes home, all of heaven rejoices. Amen. And everybody here at KCM gets really excited about it too. We want to hear from you. So if you want this package, just go to kcm.org and request this free salvation package. Thank you for watching the broadcast today. I hope you're getting a lot out of this. I believe this is can be a real blessing to you and to your family. Tell somebody about it. Get somebody watching it with you. If you know somebody that could benefit from them, get on the phone, send them a text, send them a link to the broadcast. Get them in on this with us, and they're going to receive the same blessing you are.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. August 29th through the 31st, join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle at the Midwest Victory Campaign in Southfield, Michigan, USA. September 12th through the 14th, join Kenneth Copeland at the Gold Coast Victory Campaign in Queensland, Australia. November 7th through the 9th, join us at our nation's capital for the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia, USA. For more information, visit kcm.org/events.
Every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is offering day. And I want to read this to you again from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 6. It says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap." And then go right down to verse 10 where we spent this entire week. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." This offering right now is an opportunity to do good to the house of faith. If the Lord's leading you to be a part of this, if you've heard some good word and something that's impacted your life, respond to it today and respond in faith. Go before the Lord. Say, "How do you want me to respond to this word I've heard?" When you partner with this ministry, when you do it in faith and you partner financially, what you are doing is sending this word all over the world and making sure the same thing that's gotten into your heart and affected your life gets into the life and into the hearts of other people around the world. And partners, we want to say thank you. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland love you. They appreciate you. They're praying for you. And it's because of you that they're able to send the word of God all around the world. And the good news, the gospel of Jesus has changed and continues to change people's destinies everywhere. You're a part of that. You are a big part of that. Now listen to me, if you've missed any of the broadcasts from our two-week study, I want you to go back, watch any of them for free at kcm.org or from KCM's Roku channel. Go back over these things. Sarah, it's so important, wouldn't you say, that even something you've heard before, that you hear again, right?
Over and over, repetition.
That's right, repetition. Get it down on the inside. And I guarantee you this, when you go back and listen to it, you think, well, I watched this the first time and I didn't hear that and I didn't hear that. We want these things things to get down on the inside of you, and I know they'll be a blessing to you. Remember, the life that you live is the legacy that you leave. And I want you to remember that raising a family in the house of faith, you don't look like every other house, but this is the life God's called us to live. Mm-hmm. Thanks for watching this week. Tune in next week. My grandmother, Gloria Copeland, and my dad, Pastor George Pearson's, will be right here on the broadcast teaching on being heirs of God. You don't want to miss this. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give. Or call 800-600-7395. This is the time for miracles. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.